Today I'm continuing a series that we're doing on the subject of stewardship, of what it means for us to be generous people. So as we go forward in that, we've seen, as I've mentioned, that the Bible seems to have plenty to say about generosity and what that means. So we've got plenty that we can look at for that, and this is now the third week that we're looking into that. And what we've done is we've looked at a few different examples of what generosity means. For example, 2 weeks ago, we looked at those opening words of Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It was a view of generosity, a view of stewardship that turned around and looked behind, right? Remembering all that God has given, all that God has created and made. It's a view of stewardship and generosity that remembers what God has done for us in so many ways. And then last week, we looked at an example, a parable of Jesus, that gives us an example of generosity that doesn't turn around and look backwards, but looks forwards. It is an example of how stewardship and generosity for us anticipates what God is doing and what God will do next. Right, an example of how our generosity presses into and anticipates the coming kingdom of God that is yet becoming and being made before us. So we have these examples of generosity that both look behind and an example of generosity that focuses and looks ahead. Now today, I'm looking at a story which comes from one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that focuses on a generosity that is in the present, here, today, right now, and what that means. So these words today, this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm beginning at verse 6, where the Apostle Paul writes this. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today some focus on what generosity and stewardship means for us in the present, now. And what Paul has to say in these words about what this generosity looks like. You see, because what stewardship is in this case is what Paul is focusing on here is an attitude of giving, right? It is not so much about what is given, but how it is given. Or in other words, generosity or stewardship for us, it's not so much that we give, but it is the way in which we give. That seems to be what the Apostle Paul is after in these words. He wants to talk something about the heart of the giver, what that looks like. So we looked at some examples of that in the past weeks, right? We looked at examples of what generosity is when it looks to the past, behind us, when we looked at those words from Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." We looked last week at an example of generosity that focuses on the future, anticipating what God will do and bring about as he restores and renews his world. And today a generosity that focuses on the present, now, where we are at here. You see, because the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth, this comes from 2 Corinthians. So it's not the first time that Paul has written to this church. In other words, you know, this is not an introductory kind of letter. This is not one of those cordial, formal kind of things where he's just getting to know the people. No, at this point, Paul knows those people pretty well. So he can write rather openly and freely, and he can cut right to the heart of the issue with them. He can get down to business with those people that he counts as his friends within that church. And he talks to them here about the way in which our generosity, our stewardship, forms our hearts. And he gives it a present kind of tone, a feel to it. Not focusing on the past and not looking to the future, but this time talking about what it means for us to be generous right here, right now, in the moment in which God has placed us and what that looks like. You see, because when we start to focus all of our generosity in one direction or the other, then it seems to go astray in some ways. It doesn't always fit with where we would like generosity to come from. So when we have a generosity that only looks to the past, then we find ourselves always counting what's been done for us, right? What has always been there for us in the past. Or when we find a generosity that is always looking to the future, then we're always looking for what the future will bring. But by ignoring the present, when we ignore the present, then we lose that attitude of generosity. Let me illustrate. This might be kind of confusing. So a generosity that always focuses on the past. We're getting into that time of year where it's getting close to the Advent season, and many of us maybe have the habit or the practice of writing and sending out Christmas cards. Right? You have this list of people who, yep, we send cards to these people. And I don't know if it goes like this for you, but for me, it begins with trying to draw up that list of, you know what? Who sent me a card last year? Because if I got a Christmas card from them last year, maybe I should have them on my list to send a Christmas card to this year. Make sure that everyone on my list remembers the people who have sent something to me. Or in other words, you know what? If they sent me a card last year, now it feels like I'm kind of obligated to send a card to them this year in return for that. True for anyone else? I know it is. We all do this. Maybe if you don't send Christmas cards, it's true in some way, for some part of your life, where you look at the past. What have people done for me? How have people blessed and been generous to me in the past? And now, for some reason, whatever reason, I feel an obligation to be generous in return, to return that generosity in some way. Now it's an obligation. Somewhere in my mind, it becomes something that I'm obligated to do when I'm looking at generosity only through the eyes of the past, of what's been done for me, of how I've been blessed in the past. The same thing can be true when you look only to the future, only to what's coming next. Because then generosity looks for what's the return that I get coming for this. What will be there for me in the future? I'm investing in something that should have a return that comes back to me. So when I'm looking at a generosity that only looks at the past or only looks at the future, then it becomes something that I see as an obligation, something that I have to do because of something that I expect in return or has already been given to me that I'm now returning. You see how that works? If you're only looking in one direction or the other. So today the Apostle Paul says, you know what? Let's keep our focus here and now. Let's look at what generosity, what stewardship looks like today in the present. Not that we ignore the past and ignore the future, but we include today. Because that gives us a perspective to recognize where we are right now in this moment. In every moment. You and I are people who live covered in the grace of God. Every moment of every day. We sang about that here this morning, right? I need you every hour. I always need the Lord. I need His grace to cover and sustain me every moment of every day. Right now, right here, in this place, at this moment, I am covered in the grace of God. freely given for every one of us. That we live in a present where we realize this. That I realize that my present has a present realization that my life is continually covered in God's grace. That I live as a person of faith, covered in that grace every moment of every day. Now then, if I put generosity into that, recognizing that I am covered in God's grace right here, right now at this moment, then I come to a place where I know that my present generosity, what I'm able to give and to share in the blessings of God right now, is an expression of that faith. An expression of the faith that holds and sustains me where I am. That the blessing that I have received from God right now is a blessing that I can share right now. An expression of faith where my generosity meets my faith in that way. Listen again to how Paul says this from the end of the passage that we read today. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, Paul is reminding this church in Corinth, and he's reminding us here yet today, that we live in a present moment where we have been so abundantly blessed by the grace of God, that it's an overflowing of that grace that has come to us. Our faith is founded upon that, and we live in a way where we may overflow that blessing that comes from God that way. Looking at it in that context, that perspective, that angle of where I am right now and what that means. Keep tracing this forward with me then of how this works, that this generosity, which then has its expression in our faith, also comes in blessing. Now, this is a section of Scripture in which Paul makes many references to the Old Testament. In fact, I'm just going to include a few here of where he points back. That in this section where he's talking about sowing and seed and bread and harvest and all of those metaphors that he's pulling in for this section, he's pulling from different Old Testament passages, from Proverbs 11, Psalm 112, Deuteronomy 15, Isaiah 55, Hosea 10, all different sections of Old Testament Scripture that talk about generosity in some way. He's pulling this all together in this one short section that we read here today with these metaphors, these word pictures about seed and sowing and reaping and harvesting and bread, all of that coming together to talk about generosity, a blessing, what it means that we have experienced the blessing of God. Maybe we need to pull into that a little bit, what that blessing actually means, what that blessing looks like. You see, because here is where there's perhaps a danger of misinterpreting this passage. Those who preach something more of a health and wealth kind of gospel, you know, television preachers who are just always asking for your money, they like to go to this passage. And they like to go to this passage because they will look at this passage and they'll say, look at this, the more that you give to me, the more God is going to give you in return. So if you hold back and don't give money to me, then God's not going to give anything to you either. That's sort of their interpretation of how this works, right? If you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, then you reap generously. Let's dig this one open a little bit, though, okay? Because we're working with some English words here that have come through the translation of Greek that may carry something of a little different meaning. And they're pulling from Old Testament passages that work in Hebrew that again pull something of a different meaning. Generosity. That's what Paul says in this. For if you sow generously, then you will also reap generously. The Greek word there is actually a word, eulogia. It's where we get the English word eulogy. You know what a eulogy is, right? It's often at a funeral where someone stands up and says kind words about the person who has recently passed away. And that's literally what eulogia means, favorable words. Or in other words, blessing. Let me make that connection for you, okay? Because in the Old Testament, blessing had a specific meaning. We think of blessings today of all the things that God has given to me. We think, oh, I'm a blessed person. I have been blessed by God in so many ways. In other words, God has given me so much. God has done so much for me. And those are all the things that I call or consider blessings. But strictly speaking, in the Bible, blessing is spoken. It's pronounced. It's words. You go back to the Old Testament and you find the stories of those patriarchs who had this tradition that they would pass a blessing to their firstborn oldest son, that the blessing would go down. And it was a spoken pronouncement. They would speak a blessing to them. Now, often, those blessings also became something that were accompanied by some kind of benefit or material gain. You remember the story from the Old Testament where Jacob actually tricks his father Isaac into thinking that he's Esau, the older brother, and steals that blessing. A spoken pronouncement of kind or favorable words that also often included some other type of benefit that went along with it. That's where it comes from. That's what's going on when you think about blessing in the Bible. That it has its roots in that. And Paul is tapping into that when he says these words. He's tapping into that spoken blessing. Favorable words is actually what he's talking about when he talks about generosity. So let me put this into some words that maybe capture that a little bit better, that phrase, okay? Now, these aren't real English words because the real English words don't exist, but maybe you'll follow along with how this actually means as it comes out that way. So when he talks about sparingly, all right, that comes from a term that comes from Proverbs 11 that actually means withholding, holding back, that kind of a thing. So let's put these words in not real English words, but here's really kind of how that phrase goes. That Paul is really saying something like this. Now, whoever sows withholdingly will also reap withholdingly. And whoever sows blessingly will also reap blessingly. You see, here's what's going on here. Here's what's at the heart of this. It's about attitude, not amounts, but the heart. It's not about how much you give, but it is about the way in which you give. Right? If we are people who give withholdingly in our hearts, all right, I'd rather not give this, then we reap back again in that same attitude of withholding. But if we are people who give blessingly, remember what that term means, favorable words, that I give in a way where the expression and the attitude of my heart is one of favor towards what I am giving, of kindness in what I am giving, then I reap that attitude, that heart, that blessing in return. See that? It's not about amounts. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude. So I don't know about you, but every year when it comes around to tax time, and quite often, just because of the way I run my taxes, I always kind of see, all right, here's what I have to pay every year. Here's the check that I have to end up writing for my taxes. I have to admit, I don't write that check blessingly, right? I kind of write that one withholdingly. I'd rather not be writing that check at all if I didn't have to. I don't send that one off with a blessing. There's an attitude behind that, which I think many people share as an attitude that I really don't like paying taxes. It's not a party to do that. It's an attitude there, right? That's what Paul's talking about here. The heart, the attitude of when we give, when we share, that there's a blessing that comes along with that. And so that our acts of generosity may in fact also come with an attitude of blessing. That when I give, that I'm able to give blessingly with a heart or an attitude where my generosity meets blessing in that way with kind and favorable words and attitude of my heart. Now, take this one to the next step then. Keep running with this because now we find a place where generosity meets joy. If I am able to share and give in a manner where my heart, my attitude is one of blessing, then there is joy. Joy that comes with this. Now, sometimes that does not just happen automatically, does it? I mean, every single opportunity that we have to share or be generous, it doesn't always immediately flood with joy. Sometimes you and I need to intentionally choose that. We need to make that choice to have joy in the way that we give, that it can be an intentional part of our stewardship, that we give with joy. We've had in this church a fundraising committee that has worked over the past several months trying to raise funds to eliminate our church debt. And they've been working at that, and they've reached that goal and surpassed that goal. But I think back to when that committee first began months ago, and they laid out on paper all the tasks that they were going to set about, right? How they're going to communicate, where they're going to set their goals, different fundraising activities that they were going to have, how they were going to run pledges, all those things that they set out on their list of, here's all the tasks that we have as a committee. One of the things that they put on their list of things to do was celebrate. That they set a task to say, we're going to do all this work to have this fundraising for our debt goal, but it is also important that we celebrate what God does through that, that we have a time of joy in that, that it was intentional to choose to do that. And sometimes we have to do that too, don't we? In those opportunities that we have to share and be generous, that we have to intentionally choose some pieces of joy to be a part of that, to be along with that. Paul says it like this in this passage. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. Loves a cheerful giver. Now, it's not as though the opposite were also true. It's not as though God then, what, hates a reluctant giver? That doesn't work because God, it's not in God's nature to hate anyone who he creates in his image. So it's not that God loves or hates based on that. But here, Paul is using the word love maybe in more of a way that means approves or delights, right? God approves of cheerful giving. In fact, God delights in cheerful giving. That when we give with a joyful heart, that God himself rejoices in that act. Those things come together. Now then, at this point where we experience joy in our generosity, God himself delights and has joy in generosity, that our joy and God's joy come together. Right? At this point, generosity is something which is not only an act of giving, but now it actually becomes an act of holiness. Holiness. That God is uniting and joining us with himself and with his joy by our act of generosity. It's an act of stewardship, which also becomes an act of worship. This is why when we gather for worship, and we do this on a Sunday, this is why we have a point in our worship service where deacons come forward and we pass plates around and we collect an offering. And we do that as a part of worship, as an act of worship. That we do that in ways where our generosity itself is worship, because our joy connects with the joy of God in doing that. And we do that several ways here. We do that in ways that we find to be generous. You know, it's been suggested to me before by people at different points to say, hey, you know, what if we just put everything in one offering plate? And we can sort of cut that time down. Just have the deacons run through in one offering and put it all in there and sort it out later. But I have to admit, I like the way that we do this. I like the way that we break this out, because it gives an opportunity for our generosity to connect with blessing as we go through that. We can find ways to make our giving a blessing. Remember, blessing, kind words, favorable words, that we can say a prayer of blessing. So here's a challenge. Here's a challenge, all right? That when we gather for worship and when the offering plate goes by, that there is an opportunity in that moment. When that plate goes by and you grab onto that and put something in, or that goes by and you drop something in, when that goes by, you have an opportunity to silently say a prayer of blessing at that moment for that offering that's going by you. And we have opportunities for that. So when that offering plate goes by that's just for our Christian Education Support Fund, you know what? There's an opportunity right there as an act of worship to pray a silent prayer of blessing. God bless and use these gifts and the families, the children and the families for whom it becomes a blessing for them. Bless that offering as it goes by. We do our community offering here every week too, right? And we have that as a box that's in the back by the sound booth on the way out. You know, when I first came here, that struck me odd. Huh. I don't really get that. Why is that one? It's something that's in a box and it's at the back and it's on the way out. I've come to appreciate that, and let me tell you why. Because a community offering for us is an offering which we give out then to some form of our community out here. So think about this. Think about this in terms of our act of worship, what it means in our worship, that we get through with our worship time here together. I give the blessing at the end of the service. Everyone gets up and leaves, and the very first action you get to perform on your way out to our community is to be generous towards our community in that box on the way back. The very first thing you get to do in leaving this place to go out to the community is to perform an act of generosity towards our community. I like that. I like how that expresses worship in how we give. Not in what we give, but in how we give, in the expression of our generosity. We find ways to do that. So that's the challenge, right? Find ways to say a prayer of blessing as part of my generosity. Now, we're coming to a point in our year where our admin board is putting together a 2020 budget. And it comes to a part where somewhere here in December, everyone who's a member of this church gets a spreadsheet. You get that spreadsheet that has the whole budget thing on it. And I know you jump up and down. Spreadsheets, numbers. I love it. But look now. We do that for a couple reasons, right? One of the reasons is, all right, we want all of you to share in the vision of how we allocate resources here. That's one of the things that we do. But also, think about this. Now, this gives you a breakdown of how we as a church intend to spend every dollar that is received. I know things kind of flunk around from month to month where it doesn't always go where we mean for it to, but it's our intention. Our intention is, in the money that we receive, here's how we intend to spend it. Here's the ministries where we intend for this to go. It gives you then a point of being able to give blessingly. That when it comes time to be able to receive that offering, you know where that money's going, so that you are able to bless that gift, knowing where it is going, knowing where it is received. So however that works for you, let me maybe suggest this, that when we get through that time of year and we have that 2020 budget and we receive that and talk about it, you take that home. If you take that home, put it in your home somewhere right next to where those envelopes are, for those of you who give in that way, right? so that when that time comes where you write that check or give that money for that, that you have right there next to it, oh yeah, this is what I'm giving to. This is where that's going. These are the things that I am blessing by this act of generosity, of where I am giving this. We do that intentionally because we want what you have here to be given with blessing, that you know where it goes, so that you may be able to bless that gift and experience joy in that. I know that takes form in many different ways, right? Some of you, you do that every single week. Some of you use envelopes. Some of you don't. Some of us here give online, so it's all done at some other point in the week. Some of us maybe give more periodically in chunks, like I'll give every month or quarterly or however that goes. Remember, the form here is not the important part. The heart is the important part. So even though, for example, my family is one who gives online, I still have the opportunity every week when that collection plate goes by to say that prayer of blessing over the gift that I have given, even though I'm not physically dropping it in at that moment. We all have that opportunity, no matter how it is you give, no matter what it is you give, an opportunity to give in a way that shares the joy of the blessing. We do that because God's grace comes to us. Remember that. In this present time that we live as people of God's grace. Now, God did not have to do that. God was not obligated to save us. Right? God didn't owe us anything. There was no obligation in the cross of Jesus for something that had to come to us. But rather, God freely gave of himself. It was an overflow of God's love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness that came to us through the cross of Jesus. Not an obligation, but an overflow of his blessing. And you and I then get to live as people in our generosity, where that as well is not an obligation, but also becomes an overflow of God's blessing. It is our act of worship for a God who has done so much for us. And we connect and share in that joy he has in overflowing that blessing to others as well. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the ways that you encourage us to be cheerful givers. Lord, and we have to confess that, you know what, there are times when maybe we have given reluctantly, when we haven't given with the heart and the attitude of blessing, when we have given withholdingly. But Lord, we ask today that you would renew us, renew your spirit within us so that we may share the joy that you have in overflowing that blessing in the way we give. And Lord, may we experience a new measure of your grace within that as we share what you've given for us, for so many others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.